All right, we're going to, if you can hear me, and I know others are roaming around looking at our science fair, at least it kind of almost looks like it's a science fair, out in the hallway. We're thankful to have you with us. We're going to have our combined Sunday school hour in here today with Brother Everson, and we've looked forward to this week for some time. We've been announcing and praying for it, and Ben and his family will be with us all week, or actually I should just say through Wednesday. But we've got a lot of other things coming up as well. As you're coming in, though, and we'll make more mention of this today and even throughout the rest of the week, those tables that will be out there represent various ministries and service opportunities that you can be a part of in the new year. Some of them are new ministries, some of them are old ministries, some of them are ministries that may be looking for some volunteers to help serve. So ways that you can be introduced, maybe, or reminded of different things that go on in our church throughout the year. So I encourage you to walk up and down the hallways and check those out, all those displays. And they've even, I noted a few of them have even gone so far as to bribe you with candy to come over to your to their table and check that out. So make sure today or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll keep those tables up throughout this Be Encouraged conference together to give you an opportunity to do so. You may have been, and I know many had, I know there were several that have been asking about ways that they could get involved, and I've kind of, over the last few weeks at least, they've been asking me, and I've been saying, just wait till January. This Sunday, you're going to really get to know all the different ministries that may need people to help you out, help them out. And today is that day. So if you are those handful of folks in the last few weeks that were asking about that, today is that day. So you're going to want to check that out. There are clipboards at each of those tables that have opportunities for service and other volunteer ministries that you may want to sign up for. There are also tables out there that have clipboards that may not be service ministries, but they have things that go on periodically throughout the year. For example, the Joy Club. Last year we started the Joy Club. It stands for Just Older Youth, and it's basically our youth group for senior citizens, and we have a lot of fun. Last year we had a bunch of activities, and that was a wonderful thing. We're going to do that again. This year we're adding a new wrinkle to that, though. Monthly, every month, the first Thursday of the month, first Tuesday of the month, there will be a Bible study for you to come to, and during those Bible studies we may have a breakfast or a lunch and going on. So that is another new thing that you may want to be in, and there is a sign-up sheet for the Joy Club, so if you'd like to be part of at least the email list or the mailing list to know about the Bible studies, know about the activities, perhaps even get some of the Bible study material in advance of the lesson, you may want to sign up that sheet as well. So a lot of different things to be a part of and be prepared in. Today begins our Be Encouraged Sunday. And we call it that for the second year in a row. We call it Be Encouraged. Last year, we remember we had evangelist Aaron Coffey with us for our Be Encouraged conference, and we changed it to be calling it the Be Encouraged conference because, as we all know, 2020 wasn't the most encouraging year for most of us. Certainly wasn't one of those years we've ever had before, and we wouldn't like to have it again. It was just weird, just nationally and internationally. It was just weird, and it can get really discouraging. It can be, frankly, get really discouraging. And we prayed that the Lord would help motivate us to continue in service, and we rejoice that 2021 was actually just a fantastic year for our church. We saw God do some really amazing things, and I look forward to even this coming Sunday evening, today, to passing out a booklet that highlights all the things that we did over the last year and going through that with us. But to be honest, even still, it can be good for us to come back and be reminded that God is a God that sustains us to keep us serving Him. And God is a God that is here still with us because he has a mission to see more souls saved. As even we mentioned last Sunday evening, the reason the sun just rose up again this morning is because God is still not done with His work here on earth. And we get to be a part of that work. And no matter your lot in life and no matter the situation you find yourself in this morning, you are a part of God's special plan today, and part of that plan, at least for our church, is to hear Brother Ben Everson preach. And so we're thankful to have him and his family with us. They'll be ministering to us, and we'll more formally introduce him even in our morning service. But Ben, if you would come and speak to us during our Sunday school hour. Ben, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor, and it's so good to be back with you here. We've been looking forward to this. I was trying to think when we were here last, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. But we are so glad to be back with you here. And I don't often have the opportunity to say this because we're hardly ever there, but we have a rental house in Pensacola, Florida. So we are fellow Floridians now. But most of the time I get to talk about, well, we're going to go to colder weather. Well, we got to come south. And we don't often get to go south from Pensacola, Florida, right? But we did this time because we're down here in Palm Bay. And so we're so glad to be with you and looking forward to the week. And tonight, I hope, if you can make it out tonight, please come out tonight. I've been working on a special message, a challenging message, but a very important message tonight about the church. And we're going to do a little bit of looking into the future. Ooh, you say, wait a minute, Brother Ben, I thought there's no more prophets. Yeah, I can't really know the future, but we're going to do some educated guesses, all right, and see where God would have us be. And so you don't want to miss Sunday night. Now, if you're in leadership positions, you don't want to miss Monday night. Monday night might be the most important night of the week. If you're in leadership, we'll be looking forward to that. We'll be able to have a meal together and then talk through some important principles on leadership, things that I really believe will help you and encourage you. And then Tuesday night might be the most important night of the week because we're going to be doing a concert for you that evening. And it's a great time also to invite unsaved family and friends and enemies and coworkers and all that type of stuff. We'll be doing a lot of, that's a real concert, by the way. Some people say, well, I have a concert. They do three songs and preach for an hour. That's not what's happening on Tuesday. It's a genuine concert, all right? Start to finish. And then, of course, we'll be sharing the gospel throughout, interwoven through that concert and testimonies and such that go along with the music. And so that might be the most important night of the week. And then, of course, Wednesday, we finish it out. And that might be the most important night of the week. You really don't want to miss Wednesday night. And, of course, being a part of the kids' programs and different things. And then we'll have hope to have some unsaved parents here. So be praying towards that as well. So now Sunday school might be one of the most important times of the week because it sets everything up for the rest of the week. Let's go to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9 this morning. Always appreciate the planning that goes into one of these things. In the times that we've been here with you, and this is no exception, everything's well thought out, well planned out. When Pastor called me and said, hey, we've got some ideas to change things up a little bit for this conference, I cringed for a moment. Because when a pastor calls me up and says, hey, we want to change things up, that usually means I've got to, like, you know, write a bunch of new arrangements and you know, get ready to do stuff. We have a Christmas concert that start to finish with video and everything. It's all, in other words, it's all edited and it's all complete. It's a complete package. You push play, you sing along with it, it all goes through. And I've had some pastors say, hey, we'd like to break that up into four different sections. And could you do this song and this song and this song? I'm like, well, it's all prepackaged. So I cringed a little bit. But, you know, we're servants of the local church. I wanted to hear what he had to say. And I loved every single idea that he had. And so I've been excited about this week before that conversation, but even more so because I really think this really is going to hit a lot of targets for us this week. And this first one might be a little bit different, but I want to zero in here on Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 38. Mark 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. This was news to Jesus. That's what they thought, right? Like, Jesus wouldn't know about this. Lord, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. He thought he did a good thing, right? Here's somebody that's not with the disciples, not following Jesus in the sense that he's going around with their group, right? And you think to yourself, well, I mean, what other group is there? I mean, besides being in Jesus' group, right? What other group is there, etc.? Look at what Jesus says. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon or a message or even a study lesson out of this passage directly. But what I want to do is I want to get us thinking a little bit about how we interact with others. I don't know if, well, I'm guessing that most of you, maybe not all of you, but most of you, perhaps some of you are like me, and I have a hard time sometimes thinking through how to interact with people that I don't agree with. Now, generally speaking, it's not people that I am, you know, 100% diametrically opposed, 180 degrees, to what they think or believe. It's not that. It's usually people that would believe similar to me but have some differences here and there. And sometimes it's hard to know how to deal with those things. So what I want to do is I want to give you three categories this morning to help you and help us think through when we're dealing with an issue, dealing with a person, dealing with a topic, dealing with a situation. We'll have these three categories so that it will help us know how to deal with that. All right? So we're going to hop, skip, and jump around the Word of God because we're going to look at different situations that have different categories. But let me give you the first category. The first category I call funerals. Funerals. The funeral category is one that when you're dealing with a particular subject, this is something worth dying over. In other words, it's worth going to your own funeral for, right? You know, you've heard that said, too. If you don't go to other people's funerals, they won't come to yours. People are awake this morning. That's good. I'm impressed. I thought maybe that might just sail right on through. Go to Romans chapter 16. Funeral category. What do you mean, Brother Ben? Funeral category. Some of you will recognize when I use this terminology. Sometimes we call these the fundamentals of the faith. Romans chapter 16. Yeah, I love it when people are turning. That's great. In fact, if you have an iPad or a phone and you've got the Bible on the phone, I think some of these programs let you add a sound effect of turning a page, which I think would be cool, you know, because then you can tell as a pastor or preacher or whatever, you can tell people are turning. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse number 17. Paul says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offensive contrary to the what? To the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So these are people that are going to go contrary to what Paul is saying, what we have taught you. Mark them, avoid them. In other words, don't link up with them. If you've got somebody out there that's preaching a false gospel, it is your job, it's your responsibility to say, hey, listen, I can't support this person in what they're saying. I know a lot of Christians today think that the 11th commandment is be nice to everybody. Now listen, I'm not against common courtesy. Of course, that's something that's fading in our culture. I'm not against being polite to people. I'm not against holding doors and driving courteously on the road, etc. I'm not against any of those things. But what we're talking about here in context is we are talking about fundamentals of the faith without which you cannot have Christianity. For example, Jesus was and is 100% God. Amen? Always was God, always will be God. He didn't become God. He wasn't just a man and then made his way to godhood. No, friends, you know what? I cannot link up with a Mormon. Why not? Because they don't teach that. Right? They don't teach that Jesus always was God. I can't link up with Jehovah's Witness. Why not? They don't believe Jesus is God. That's a funeral issue, isn't it? The Bible is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? The Bible is the Word of God. And only the Bible is the Word of God. We don't get extra words from God. God didn't forget to write a book and then send an angel to Joseph Smith and tell him to write another one. Right? I mean, that's a fundamental. That is a funeral issue. And so as we in our lives, as we interact with people, what we need to do is make sure that the truth is never confused for a lie. Sometimes we call this the gospel, Galatians chapter 1. If you turn there, I'll give you time to go there. Galatians chapter 1. The problem with, when most people think, oh, we need to defend the gospel, I mean, I agree with that statement, but the problem is that many people today, unfortunately, only think of the gospel as only the plan of salvation, right? And even that gets whittled away. Over time, people don't like the friction parts of the gospel. What do I mean by friction parts? Okay, it's where the rubber meets the road, right? We want to talk all about God's love, but people don't want to talk about the fact that you're a sinner and your sin means you're separated from God. Well, as you folks know, unless someone realizes they're lost, they're not going to get saved because they don't think they need anything to be saved from. So you can't take the gospel and cut away all the negative parts. And where do those things come from? They come from the fact that we believe God is who He says He is, and He's perfect, and He's holy, and He's almighty. Is God love? Well, yes. But He's more than that. Everything is couched in His holiness. I was on Facebook and saw a popular Christian singer post this. And it wasn't that I was against her or anything. I actually was following her, which is why I saw this. I follow a lot of different people. I like to see what's going on, see what they're doing, etc. And she posted, quote, "All that matters is love," end quote. You know, I mean, that sounds really nice, doesn't it? I mean, all that matters is love. Insert picture of a kitten. You know, that sounds good, but it leaves so much out. So instead of trying to stir up controversy, I liked the comment, but I added my own. And I said, 100% truth, 100% love, amen. What was I doing? I was trying to add on, like, okay, yeah, all that matters is love. Well, as long as you got 100% truth too. So I was kind of trying to disagree, but yet still be nice, right? I'm naturally a mercy. I don't like controversy, all right? I'd like everybody to just all get along, etc. And I'm always disappointed when people don't, okay? That's a good thing as an evangelist, though, because I'm not going to come in and just rip up your people and stuff, okay? Which is, I think he knows that, which is why he has me back, okay? But, you know, listen, more than just love matters. Because if you don't have a proper understanding of why we need love in the first place, you're not going to have a biblical understanding of what love means. Because most people, when they think of love today, they mean a feeling, and they mean you support me and encourage me in whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter if it's sinful or not. Real love means that you'll just support me no matter what I do. And that is not real love. It's not real love to tell my kid, yeah, go ahead and stick your finger in that electric socket. Well, you're going to support me whatever I do. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell my kids, listen, you love and live for God. God's going to bless you, and it doesn't matter what you do and how people misunderstand you, I'm going to be proud of you. If you decide to live for yourself and take what God's given you and you squander it, I'm still going to love you, but that love is going to prompt me to say, listen, you're signing up for a heap of trouble, and that's going to be disappointing. That's the truth. You cannot have real love without truth. That is a funeral issue when it comes to saying, yeah, God is more than love. God is holy. I know this might be a long quotation for Sunday school, but listen carefully if you would. The gospel is not just the plan of salvation. That's just part of the gospel. In short, when Paul is talking about defending the faith and hanging on to the gospel, quote, popular notions about the term gospel tend to limit it to the message of how one may receive eternal life. But it's much broader than that. Paul says in Romans 1:16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, right? For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. But using the term gospel here, Paul is not limiting his thoughts to just those central truths by which a person is given eternal life. Here it is. For Paul, the gospel included such matters as justification by faith, sanctification through the Spirit, God's future for Israel. In fact, the gospel gathers together all the truths that are found in the book of Romans. Therefore, we can conclude that in Romans 1:16, for example, Paul's expressing his confidence that the truths of justification, sanctification, and even glorification provide God's power to deliver us from enslavement and bondage to sin. Now listen, a person doesn't have to understand all those things. Oh, I should have ended my quote, okay? End quotation. All right? A person doesn't have to understand all the doctrines in the Word of God in order to get saved. All right? I didn't understand that when I was 9, 10 years old and I trusted Christ. I knew I was a sinner. I believed Jesus died for me and that He rose again. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sin and I was saved. I didn't understand all these doctrines then. That's part of the beauty of what Christ does for us. However, once you're saved, you're supposed to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. That's why I try not to jump on the bandwagon of celebrities who get saved. Now, hear me carefully here. Some celebrities, well-known people who are out there who say they get saved, really haven't gotten saved. But I don't want to focus on that. There are some, I believe, genuinely have trusted Christ, but they're not grounded. And so sometimes they say dumb things, right? But that doesn't mean they're not saved. You follow what I'm saying? There's more to Christian life than just trusting Christ. In fact, that's just the beginning. If I met my wife at the altar and we said our I do's and then I never talked to her again, never saw her again, that wouldn't be much of a marriage. That's just the beginning point. So, in other words, when it comes to, don't narrow and cut away important things from what the gospel means so that you're left with nothing to stand on. So when it comes to a funeral issue, what are we talking about? We are talking about, and this list is not limited to this, but we're talking about the virgin birth of Christ. We are talking about the inspiration of the Word of God. We're talking about the deity of Christ. We're talking about the sinfulness of man. If you don't believe man is sinful, well, then you got a big problem, right? There's so many people today, man is basically good. Right. Look all around us. Man is not basically good. Now, thanks to God's common grace, not every man, woman, boy or girl lives out to the fullest of their potential, their sinfulness, but the heart of man is wicked. I've met how many people? Well, I remember this when I was growing up. Our neighbor came over and something had happened and one of my brothers had actually told a lie to the neighbor about my dad saying that he didn't like our neighbors, which wasn't true, but he just didn't want to play with the neighbors that day. And so he made that up so that he didn't have to go play with the neighbors. So the neighbor lady came over and she said, your son said this. And my dad said, I never said that. I wouldn't say that. You've been good neighbors. And she said, well, children don't lie. And I was in the kitchen eavesdropping, you know, I think I was maybe 15 or 16 years old, probably not even that old, probably 14 years old if I remember correctly. And I remember as a 14-year-old thinking, this woman is in for a rough ride. Wow. Right, listen, I understand that there's this idea of the innocence of children, etc., and there is an aspect in which what we give them in their minds is going to help form who they become. But the Bible says even a baby goes forth from the womb speaking lies. And if you don't believe that, just lay awake at night and just hear them, the world's ending, right? Wow, wow, wow. You pick them up. Oh, everything's great. Now, I'm not for just leaving your kid and not taking care of them, please understand. But we have to understand that there is a sin nature in every one of us. And friends, that is a funeral issue. Because if there's no sin nature in the heart of man, there's no need for a Savior. Amen. That's a big deal. Well, let's go on to the next category. The next category I call fights. Fights. In fact, I'll tell you all three categories. Right, I call it fusses, fights, and funerals. Fusses, fights, and funerals, okay? We'll get to fusses at the end. That's probably the most fun. But here's probably the most difficult area, fights. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Actually, I didn't mean to lie to you. Go to Luke 9. Luke 9. When I thought of funeral categories, boy, all kinds of passages of Scripture jumped to my mind really quickly. Because we're told to defend the faith. I mean, pass on faithful, hold fast the form of sound words, right? Sound doctrine. I mean, there's all kinds of passages in Scripture all throughout the Word of God that encourage us, make sure that we're holding on to the faith, etc. That wasn't hard to come up with. But this middle category here, I started thinking to myself, this is a little tougher. This is a little tougher. Where in the God's Word do we have examples of issues that are important because they affect our day-to-day living, but they're not at the level of a funeral? In other words, I don't have to die over this, but it's still important. That's tougher. But look at Luke chapter 9. I forgot to turn there as I was talking. This is going to be a parallel passage to the Mark passage that we just read, but I think it's important to look at it because, well, it gives us a perspective that Jesus is using here. Look at Luke 9, verse number 49. It'll sound familiar because it's a parallel passage. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. What's Jesus illustrating here? Well, Jesus is illustrating the fact that this was not a funeral issue. In fact, let's go to one more passage that illustrates the same thing. Look at Philippians 1. Turn to one more place. Philippians chapter 1. I used to write all the verses that I was going to use in my sermons, I used to write them in my notes. And I still do it from time to time, but now I've stopped doing that. The reason I've stopped doing that is so that I'm turning to the passages when you are too. Because it's frustrating to me when a pastor's like, turn to Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 5, and it says this, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, I haven't even gotten there yet. So anyway, I'm turning at the same time you are so that we can kind of get there at the same time. So Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 12. But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Right? We already talked about the gospel. It's more than the plan of salvation, but of course it includes the message of salvation. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. Oh, here it is. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. What's that? Some preach Christ even of envy and strife. In other words, they're like, well, Paul, he was the big spokesperson, but now look at him, he's in prison, so now I get a chance to share the Lord. It's kind of a weird attitude. Some also of goodwill. Look at verse 16. Paul talks about it. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So this was the best passage that I could think of, besides the one where Jesus says, don't forbid him, he's speaking the truth. Here's Paul here, and this is tough for me, and maybe it's tough for some of you as well, because we know that there's so much compromise out there that we want everything to be a funeral. Not everything is a funeral. There are people that are out there. Hey, let me give you an illustration. Hopefully, you're not offended by this. All right, if your pastor has a different view, go with what your pastor says. But I have a suspicion that he probably would agree with me, but I'm not putting him on the spot or anything. You know, I didn't ask him this beforehand. There are things about the ministry, I'm going to start easy, okay? There are things about the ministry of Billy Graham that I'd not agree with. But I also know people who were saved, truly, genuinely saved under the ministry of Billy Graham. Am I going to go around promote, well, he's with the Lord now, so that's why it's a little bit easier of an issue, okay? Because he's not here anymore, all right? But there are things that I highly would disagree with, and if I had been in ministry at the times when those things were going on, I would have had to say something about them. But at the same time, I can say, yes, people have been saved under the ministry of Billy Graham. That I put in this category. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not going to walk. My grandmother, she was Roman Catholic most of her life. She trusted Christ shortly before she passed away. But she had a lot of Catholic friends, and they would ask her what I did. And so the best way that she could explain what I did was to compare me to Billy Graham. Because her Roman Catholic, staunch Roman Catholic friends, I mean, they were against Vatican II and all that. They wanted everything to be in Latin still. I mean, hardcore Roman Catholics. But she would compare me to Billy Graham so that they would, oh, okay, all right. Well, did I want to be compared to Billy Graham? Not particularly, but I understood what she was doing, and I wasn't going to make a fuss out of it with her friends. You find what I'm saying? Well, no, I'm not. Okay, well, if I had opportunity, unless some of you think I didn't take the opportunity, when she died, she made a special request to her priest. She never left the Catholic Church. She had MS. She had multiple cancers. They took care of her. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad she got saved and trusted Christ alone. But she didn't have opportunity to make the big deal and leave the church, etc. So she had a memorial service, not a funeral mass, which if you know anything about Catholicism, that's a big deal. And then the second thing was, she said, I want my son or my grandson to speak. So I can tell you right now, I've spoken at a Roman Catholic church. Not because I'm Roman Catholic, but because my grandmother, with her dying request, made possible me to have the opportunity to speak at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church, right down the road from where I grew up. I learned how to ride a bike in their parking lot. And I was able to present the gospel straightforwardly and clearly at that church. And I'm glad I did it. I wrestled with it. But I was like, okay, here, they're going to know I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm not compromising the gospel. I can go and do this thing. That was tough for me. And I'm not saying that everybody else have to make the same decision. In fact, you don't have to turn to this passage, but you remember a guy by the name of John Mark? Remember Barnabas? John Mark? Paul? They've got a revival team going on. They got an evangelistic team going on. They're in their fifth wheels. That's how I think of it. All right, just because. You know, and they're traveling around and preaching the gospel. Everything's going great. And then John Mark decides we don't know exactly the reason, but John Mark leaves. Well, later on, he wants to come back and join the team, and Paul says, no, you quit halfway through. Remember this? In fact, the Bible says the contention, fight, was so great between them that they end up splitting into two different teams. Now, was this a funeral issue? Absolutely not. Was Barnabas still going to be preaching the gospel? Absolutely. Was Paul going to be preaching the gospel? Absolutely. Was John Mark going to be preaching the gospel? Yes. In fact, we see later on, Paul says, bring John Mark. He's profitable unto me for the ministry. So there was a relationship that was restored there, and John Mark grew and matured. But that's an example of a fight. Where was it a serious issue? You better believe it. In the sense that that separated Barnabas and Paul. There's been guys that I thought back in Bible college that for sure we would be ministering with to this day. But something came in that wasn't a funeral issue, but it was a fight issue. It's different enough that we're not compatible. I like to liken it to different branches of the military, right? Different branches of the military. The Air Force is different from the Marines, but I'm grateful for them both, right? Army is different than the Navy. I'm grateful for them both. They have different modes of, almost said modes of ministry. Amen. Right. They have different modes of combat, but yet they're supposed to be serving the same purpose. And sometimes I feel that that is the way it is with God's people. Listen, friends, there are people that are of different stripes than you and I, and yet they're still preaching Christ, and it's not a cut-down gospel. We don't have to waste our time worrying about them. Just say, hey, you know what? Maybe we're the Marines and they're the Air Force. Hey, I'm grateful for them. And you know what? That takes a lot of pressure off of me trying to be the Holy Spirit for everybody. Because that's a lot of pressure. Now, I also want to say this. It is also correct for your pastor to talk about those differences and say, hey, listen, this is why, for example, we're a Baptist church. No, I don't believe that there's going to be a separate section in heaven for Baptists. Of course not. But there are reasons that we are Baptists. It's not wrong to talk about those reasons. And you know what? There are reasons that I could minister to certain churches. For example, we go to some Bible churches that don't have Baptist in their name. They're Baptistic. I can minister to some of those churches, but I couldn't go on staff there. You follow what I'm saying? But it's not because we're not both brothers in Christ. It's just because of compatibility. And there's a lot of people that can't handle this. Either it's a funeral issue or it's not important. That's not the way it is. We see even in Scripture that there are people who love the Lord and were serving Him, yet they were doing it different ways, and they fit into this middle category. This has really helped me a lot because I don't have to sit in judgment on someone else's ministry. Now, if they cross certain lines, if they start to blur the gospel, well, then we just got upgraded to a funeral category, right? In fact, there's one example of this, which is in Galatians 2, verse 11, where Peter, I'm actually not going to quote it. If you want to turn there, you can, but you can make sure that what I'm saying is correct. But Paul had to withstand Peter to his face. Remember that? And at first it seems like a fight because Peter's having a great old time. He's having barbecue with the Gentiles. Amen. By the way, unless you're Jewish, you're Gentile, okay? Nothing like, I always think Greek too because I'm debtor to the Jew and to the Greek, right? I always think of hero meat, you know? Like, amen, amen, I would be all for that, right? And so Peter's in there, he's having a good old time, then the Jews show up and Peter gets nervous. And so all of a sudden he stops eating with the Gentiles. Well, on the surface, that would seem to be a fight issue, right? It's like, well, it's just a matter of who you eat with. But Paul, why does Paul not just leave it? Paul doesn't leave it because he realized that it was confusing the message of the gospel. So then he had to speak up. Do you see how that is an example there of it looks like a fight, but it's really a funeral? And praise the Lord, Peter responds well. We know that he would, and the cause of Christ went forward. But let's deal with that last category. All right, that last category is something I call a fuss. How about, let's see, we've got several different categories. Well, how many of you have heard this before? Maybe you've thought it, okay? I just long for the days when we didn't have all these issues where all of Christianity, we were just fighting all the time. And I just long for the days when we just would get together and love each other and weren't all this fighting going on. You know, Romans chapter 8, beginning in chapter 8 through chapter 9 and through chapter 10, Paul deals with an issue called meat offered to idols. He takes three chapters to deal with a controversial topic in the early church. Do you realize that there has never been a time in the church where there haven't been tough issues for us to wrestle through? It doesn't exist. Oh, I would just wish we were... What time was that when there was no fighting? What time was that when there was no differences of opinion? What time was that when we would, you know, fuss at each other about how to apply this principle? See, the principles of the Word of God never change. The applications do, but the principles don't. And what gets tough is learning to differentiate between what is a principle and what is an application. I'm not going to be specific on this because it's not my place to do so. I'm not a pastor of my own local church, so that is the job and responsibility of your pastor. But I will say the principle, and as I travel to different churches, I've noticed some churches are stuck in certain decades on application, and they don't move past that. For example, you are doing a great job here with your tech. You have the camera set up. You've got, of course, it helps that your pastor's wife is so good in graphic design. Everything looks so great. You're not afraid of a projector. But there was a time when that was, right? Should we do this? I don't want any of that singing on the wall, brother. All right? We understand application-wise, the application has changed. So we don't have to be called, you know, we don't have to worry about being called a hypocrite. I'm going to give you an illustration from my personal life. Okay, if you don't like this, guess what? You've got something called individual soul liberty, and you can disagree with me on this. when it came to going to movies. My position on movies was someone else has the remote control. It wasn't about where it was. It wasn't that next to the one theater was an evil movie and this one was a good movie and the bad movie germs were going to get on you as you walk through from the good movie and all that stuff, right? Okay? That wasn't the issue for me. The issue was I don't have the remote control. The reason I said it that way was that the age of my kids was such that I didn't want to be under pressure to say, well, we're going to stay through a movie that we really shouldn't be watching, but you know, I'm worried about peer pressure, right? Well, we were out in California, of course, California. some of you are like, that's it, I'm leaving right now. It's a California story, it's going to be bad. And there was a good brother out there who actually was a general manager of an upscale theater chain. And he said, listen, I want to do something special for your family. A particular kids movie had just came out. I'm not going to tell you what it was because I don't want people to be like, ah, okay. It's think principle here, not application. Okay. And he said, I want to pay tickets for all of you and popcorn and the whole nine yards. And you can go in the middle of the day. Probably won't even be anybody there. Would you like to go? Now I'm faced with the fact that, hey, there's not going to be anybody there. I'm really controlling the remote. I had already checked out the reviews of the movie. I knew it was clean. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? I kind of felt like if I didn't go, I would have been a hypocrite because then it was like, well, I could have been safer. Yes, we went. Nobody was there. We had a wonderful time. It went really, really well. And I was like, okay, I walked out of there. I thought, am I a hypocrite? I don't think so. In fact, I know I'm not. You might think I am, but that doesn't change what I am. What was my standard? My standard, the principle was to make sure that no evil thing is coming in front of us. You know that applies to DVDs. It applies to Blu-ray in your own home. Because what was the criticism? Well, you can go to a video store and rent whatever you want. So if you go to a video store or a movie store, say you're a big hypocrite, blah, 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 blah. For me, it wasn't about any of that. It was, do we have the courage to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to put this in front of my five-year-old. You follow what I'm saying? That's the type of thing where I call a fuss. And fusses happen the most among family members. Have you ever noticed that? You will treat sometimes your family members more aggressively than anyone. You know, you're not just going to walk up to, I hope you don't walk up to people in Publix or whatever and be like, you know, I can't believe what you're wearing today. Can I, you know, blah, 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 blah. That tie doesn't go with your suit. Not that people would be wearing ties and suits at Publix. But but a brother would say that to another brother. I think it's the same thing in the family of God sometimes. Where sometimes we're the roughest, we fuss the most at our brothers and sisters in Christ. What is a fuss anyway? That's a Southern term, right? I didn't learn that until I married into my wife's side of the family where they're a lot of Alabama. My wife was actually born in Milton, Florida. So she's a Floridian by birth, but grew up a lot of her life in Alabama. And so I was introduced to this term, fussing. And what's fuss? Well, make a lot of noise over an issue that's not, in the long term, it's not really that important, right? You didn't shut that screen door. I told you to shut that screen door. If you don't shut that screen door, all the mosquitoes are going to come in. All the mosquitoes are coming in. We're going to be up all night trying to slap those mosquitoes away if you just shut that screen door, right? That's fussing. It's not even worthy of a fight, and it's certainly not worthy of a funeral. But it's fussing, right? Okay, so if we think through this, Paul is, as he's going through that issue of meat offered to idols, I am a conservative Christian, and I get nervous when somebody goes to Romans 8 because I think they're going to try to excuse something that's wrong based on Romans chapter 8. For example, I'm a conservative musician. Now, I'm not the most conservative musician you'll ever find because the most conservative musicians won't even be on the internet. Okay, because that's too modern, okay? But I am conservative, and I don't like it when people say, well, music's just like meat offered to idols. I don't believe it is, because meat goes in your mouth and ends up in your stomach. That's what Jesus said, and you know, keeps going. That's not where music ends up. Music goes in your ear, but it ends up in your heart. So music is not the same as meat offered to idols, you understand? So but we have to understand that there are some issues where we're going to differ on, and you know what? That's okay. Particularly tonight, if you can be here tonight, it might be the most important service of the week. Because we're going to talk about what's coming down the pike and how we can be ready for it as local churches. And you know what? I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I'll give you a sneak peek, all right? There's going to be people that I am not just like, but I'll gladly share a prison cell with them if they love the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm still not going to teach my kids what I believe is right about some of the minor things. And that still doesn't mean I'm not going to teach my kids about even how I apply things. But you can ask them. Put them on the spot. I'm telling people, put you guys on the spot. Ask them differences between principles and applications. Because we actually talk about that. We actually talk, okay, is this a principle or is this an application issue? Right? Fusses. Don't let anyone convince you there's only two categories. I've noticed this, and I'm getting bolder these days just because I think, I'm not 25 anymore, okay? I'm going to turn 45 in a couple months, so I know that for some of you, that's still young. For some of you, you're like, whoa, man, so old. That's me. That's what I think. My alma mater, all right, Northland, the former Northland Baptist Bible College, when new administration came in, part of the way that they were able to run it into the ground was that they set up this dichotomy that if it's not a funeral issue, then it's not important. And that's actually where I started thinking through this. Listen, there are important things that are, you know, that aren't funeral issues as to how we do things here. You're different here at your church than some of the churches, good churches out in Southern California. There's differences. Doesn't mean you're wrong or right and they're wrong or right. It's just, you know, we need to love the Lord, know what the Word of God says, know what a principle is, understand, hey, you know what, this one area, hey, this is going to be an application area. And we might be different than somebody else. That's okay. One of the areas that I've seen where this is vitally important is how people handle the coronavirus stuff. You want to talk about issues, right? You want to talk about a way to, you know, well, people in red states, I've noticed, churches in red states. No, I need to rethink what I was going to say. Pastor's like, why did I have him in? He's just throwing everything. Sometimes I thought I knew how certain churches would respond, and I was surprised. Sometimes I was surprised for the bad. Sometimes I was surprised for the good. But I understand this, that a church in downtown San Francisco has different issues to deal with than a church in rural Indiana. They're not going to do things the exact same way. Why? Because the most important thing is the cause of Christ. Right? So, real early on, it was tempting to jump on the bandwagon and criticize people, you know, well, I can't believe that they cowered, you know, I can't believe they did. You don't know their situation. You don't know what they're dealing with. I know what I think. I'm really glad to live in Florida. Right? But we got brothers and sisters. I got my parents live in Michigan. Right? That's a crazy state. Okay, that's one of those things where it's like, hey, let's have grace with each other. Right? And so if we can keep the main thing, then we can let the minor things pass off and we don't have to get ulcers trying to be the Holy Spirit for everybody. Right? Now, I also hope as we draw to a close here, I hope you realize that I'm not coming in here preaching compromise. I'm not a compromiser. I really believe that we need people who are going to stand up and be bold on the truth of the Word of God and stand strong. And you know what? We're starting to see this all across our country. People, even in surprising situations, people I never thought would stand up for the truth are standing up for the truth of the Word of God. But what I want to say is I don't want to stand on my own opinion because then it's going to fade away. I want to stand clearly on what God has clearly revealed in His Word. And by the way, there's so much that He's clearly revealed in His Word that it would take me, you know, so much more than my lifetime to get that all figured out rather than trying to focus on all the little things. And you know what? Then people are going to be attracted to our Christianity. Why? Because then it's not about a list of rules. Are there things that I do and don't do? Absolutely. I don't go on dates with other women because I'm married. But you're not going to find me complaining about it or thinking, yeah, marriage is just this big list of don'ts. Well, I mean, that's a horrible view of it. Not going to have much of a relationship. I like to compare it this way when I preach to young people and like, hey, have some standards in your life, right? I know people that walk right up to the fence and they stick their nose on the fence and they're always looking through the fence at what they can't do and their nose gets sore. And then they're always like, oh, I can't do anything. My life is so restricted and I can't do anything. Well, get your nose off the fence. Stop running into all the things like this and you get sore about it, right? Yes, there are things that we shouldn't do because we're a Christian, but that's not our focus. Besides, I wouldn't want to do anything that would hurt my wife. Why? Because I love her. So our Christianity, if we want other people to see it and say, oh man, I want what they have, well then this way of organizing, fusses, fights, and funerals, actually will help us because we can put things in categories and that helps us. We as a family have code for stuff. And I don't want to tell you all the codes because I might use them this week. And you won't know what they mean. But I'm trying to think of one that I could give away. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that one. Four or two?
Four. That's the bad one. This is the good one.
Okay, yeah, they had to remind me of some of the codes. All right, so if I see any of my kids down there and going like this, okay, I'm up singing or preaching or whatever, and I see them with a four like that. That means something is wrong with my appearance that needs to be fixed now. Okay? So if in the middle of a message or the concert, I'm like, everyone bow your heads, close your eyes, no one looking around. It could be spirit-led. It also could be I'm getting a cue from one of my kids. All right, we have these code words and codes that we use. We don't have a ton of them, but we have a few. And it helps us realize instantly, okay, this is what's going on. I will tell you one more, all right? There are energy takers and there are energy givers. As we minister across the country, sometimes I will be involved in a long conversation with somebody that really needs a listening ear. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not willing to listen and I'm not willing to sit down with somebody and pray with you. Absolutely, absolutely. Don't think, though, number one, that you're going to tell me something that I'm not going to tell your pastor, all right? Because we're not going to play that game, all right? Well, my pastor is just so wonderful. Yeah, mm-hmm, yes, he is. Okay, I'm going to pass things on to the pastor, so I will say that. But the other thing is, sometimes I'll be able to tell my kids, just say, hey, you're going to give me some time. And when I do, hey, you're going to give me some time, they know, hey, okay, daddy's going to be busy for the next 15, 20 minutes. It's shorthand. Fusses, fights, and funerals can become a shorthand to us as God's people. Hey, funeral alert. It doesn't mean that someone's passed away. That means this is an issue that, hey, we got to rally around. We've got it. We can't compromise. We can't budge on this issue. Funeral issue. Fuss. This is a fuss. All right. Okay. Well, we can have fun talking about it, but let it not distract us from what we're doing. You follow? That's my goal. That's my encouragement to you as we begin this week. Hopefully, this will be something that will encourage you and help you. And even in multiple issues, like music, I think music has some issues about it that are fusses that really aren't that important, that are just kind of taste. And then it kind of goes the whole gamut. There's music out there that misrepresents who God is. Well, that's kind of funeral, isn't it? Right? Just like anything else would be. And then you've got stuff in the middle. So hopefully this will help you. I wanted to begin the week this way, just kind of giving you something tangible you can take with you. Please don't think that this was all about whatever illustrations I gave. Those are just to help us understand these categories. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the freedom we have in you to have that soul liberty so we can exercise grace with those who aren't exactly like us. Boy, if I only fellowshipped with people who are exactly like me, I'd just be by myself in a corner, Lord.
But Lord, I also thank you for the fact that you've clearly revealed in your word truths that we can rally around and say, no, we're not going to give this up. We're not going to give up literal creation, that you created the world and all that is in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We're not going to give that up. Everything about who you are and who Jesus is and who we are, and Lord, those are funeral issues. And Lord, I pray you'd help us discern in that middle category. That perhaps is the toughest. Lord, I pray you'd help us be spirit-filled in all that we do. Lord, I pray you'd bless us in the service to come. We'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you, Ben. Our chance now is to just be dismissed. We'll be right back here at 10:45 for our morning services. As you're going out, I encourage you to go by those tables and check them out. Check out the various ministries of the church. The Eversons also have a table out there. Theirs is the big 8-foot one right through the middle doors. You may want to check theirs out. They've got their music and some other materials, and I'm sure he'll be telling you more about that even throughout the rest of the week. But you are dismissed. We hope to see you back here at 10:45.